I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from the Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
Working Class Bowhunter.
Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. It is episode 407. Golly, oof, chipping away. We have a, I thought we were going to have a full studio of people, and it turned out we have quite the opposite. Myself here, Kurt Geyer.
Doug Schmidt.
And then?
Austin Chandler.
The Lord. Welcome to the Church of the Chandler. do you like that comment today?
I like that.
So we'll get into that a little bit. Eric is,
working. I don't know,
he's working late.
Yeah.
Golly, look at him.
Working class.
Working class.
Keeping the name alive. And then Ross was supposed to come along for this, but right now there's another windstorm coming through the Midwest, and Ross is an electrician by trade and owns his own business and power's out. He's running around.
Working class.
That's right. So we're just, we're just lazy, all of us. Or efficient. I don't know. Or just get a career that like doesn't tank, you know, go down the shitter when the power goes out. Yeah, that's what I did. Hey, preach, brother.
Hell, I would.
So thank you for being here on the podcast. If you want to support us, we have a Patreon. We have three members, a one, a five, and a $10. You get different stuff for it. If you're that interested, you can check them out. Links in the description. Also, workingclassbowhunter.com on our store. We have hoodies and new hats, and we have new beanies, new hats, and decals, and some new things on the way. A new shirt. We have a new shirt design coming.
That new shirt's pretty sick.
I'm hoping it's out before Thanksgiving because it's fitting.
Oh, yeah.
It is, yeah. That's a good point.
Holla, holla.
Holla, holla.
Holla, holla.
Let me holla at you.
Let me holla at you.
Revert back to the Turkey Palooza episodes, and you might be able to catch up on what we're talking about. But that those shirt designs, I'm really excited about. I think people are going to like them. Either you're not going to understand it, but if you listen, you'll be like, ah, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
I think most people will get it, hopefully.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. Let's do, oh man, you want me to pick an unpopular opinion on the fly?
Yeah, throw it ass.
Okay. Do it.
We'll do the ads and stuff, and then, I'll pull up an unpopular opinion. Jeez, what's gotten into me? I forgot. I was trying to do those more often, you know? The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. We talk about them all the time. Single pin nation, leader in single pin sights, in our opinion, and now drop away rest. They offer a lifetime warranty. Made in Wisconsin, all sourced from Midwestern materials. Good company. We love it. If you spend the money on an HHA sight and rest and something happens to your bow, they cover it. Yeah. Like if you run your sight over, you're good. And that's good to have. You drop it out of a tree stand and something snaps off. Like you don't have to worry about it. So buy good accessories. And if you're a bow nerd and you get a new bow every year, every couple of years, or you just want accessories that are essentially timeless, you don't have to buy another sight and another rest and all that. Transfer the good stuff onto your next bow. It's
a good move.
It is a good move. It's kind of an investment. Scent Crusher is also a partner of ours, helping us out. Especially, I'm going to be road tripping, coming this weekend right into hanging a stand.
Oh yeah.
So Scent Crusher on every level is going to be working overtime.
Scent Crusher is going to be working overtime this weekend.
Yep, that's right. Loophole Optics. We're all rocking 10x42 loopholes. Thermoseat. If you go to Thermoseat and you want to get some of their other products, code WCTS is the code there. Or if you go to workingclassbowhunter.com, we have our own working class Thermoseats, which we're sitting on them in studio. It's kind of nice, a little upgrade.
They are nice. I like those.
Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, Elite Archery, Big Tine. Big Tine is title sponsoring our bow shoot, which is June 12th. Mark your calendars in Ryle, Illinois, near Galesburg. And we have an after party at Jigs's Tavern in Alexis, Illinois. That's official now.
It's going to be epic.
So we can go shoot. If we don't get to talk to you there, we're going to try and figure out a Busch Light special. And I think old Brian Johnson, our buddy from Team Working Class, he's a good cook. He's talking about cooking up some barbecue for everybody.
Oh, nice.
So
it's going to be a blast.
We're going to have a small town get down shooting bows. It's going to be a good time.
So you're going to do a two-day event this year? Is it going to be one?
One day. Shoot all day. Hang out all night.
Perfect.
If you want.
Yep.
Or not. Or don't.
You do what you want. But
Big Time
it's
is
be a good time.
Sponsoring that. I'm sure Big Time will be giving away some of their new food plot blends. A lot coming in the future from Big Time. Super exciting. If you go to Big Time's website, code WCB2020 until the end of the year, obviously. We should make a new code for greener pastures for 21. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
What a year. Old Barn Taxidermy. I'm officially an Old Barn Taxidermy outpost. We'll get into that. Chandler just dropped his buck off here at the old working class outpost.
The outpost.
And no, it's cool, man. We love Old Barn Taxidermy. Both of my deer are there. My dad's buck's there. Your mom's buck is there.
My mom's buck's there.
I mean, heck. And they're doing processing now. By the way, have some of their deer sticks here, like their jalapeno cheese. It's impressive.
Man, my stomach's kind of grumbling. We might need to hit that up.
It's impressive. Honestly, I didn't doubt them because everything like Sam does, it's done really well. But that's like a company that continues to impress me. Like, you know what I mean? They do one thing, like, oh, yeah, that's cool, that's cool. And then you go in, you see like what they're doing, and Sam will tell you about something. Oh, wait till you see this. This is coming down the line. I'm like, damn, dude, you just... He's a guy that keeps like evolving.
Yeah.
Yep.
Always working.
Always thinking outside the box.
It's inspiring, actually. He's a cool dude to be around. And like, you'll tell him something. He'll be like, okay. And you're like, did you get that? Are you good? He's like, yeah, I got it. I know. And he just like, he knows. He's got it. Yeah. You don't have to tell him three times, even though I do. He's like, no, I'm good. Yeah, we got you.
No, I got it, man. I'm good to go.
Yeah. That's it.
We're done here.
All right, Sam. Incredible dude. Incredible business. But, yeah, highly recommended. Also, we're doing that pot for the working class listeners. Take a deer there, say you're in the working class family, and they'll throw you in the drawing to win a free mount for next year. So, cool. Thank you to all our partners. Appreciate the hell out of all you guys. You got a veteran shout-out, Don?
I do.
All right, I'm going to pull up that that deal while you're rocking that.
So, since it's the Marines' birthday, happy birthday to all the Marines.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, boys.
I'm going to shout out my cousin, Josh Pajowski. He retired as a sergeant, and he served from 2004 to 2012. Served in Iraq during Operation Steel Curtain from October 2005 to December. And he's been in the family for quite a while now. He's from Michigan, so he's finally knows what big bucks look like here in Iowa.
Yep, he's done bitching.
He shot a pretty nice one this year, so.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Heck yeah, man. Nice. Congrats.
So thank you for your service, Josh.
Thank you, sir.
And everyone else, cheers.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Happy birthday.
Yinglings and Busch Light in the studio right now. Thanks for your service, fellas. So here's one from Billy Hoffman. Casey's Pizza is actually shit, and so is Busch Light. Hey, Billy, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck you and your mom.
On shit to the poster. Next one. That's not even an unpopular opinion. That's a wrong opinion.
That's just a dumbass statement.
I'm just kidding. What's up, Billy? But fuck you. moving on. There's some funny ones in here. Lots of actually popular opinions in here, someone said. Why some taxidermists only do paper mache. Like, some of these aren't even worth going in, but they're great. do you want me to just pick one and throw one out at you guys?
That's fine.
There's some funny ones in here. Some are like, it's like, I don't even know how to tackle them. This is a cool one. Bailey Clark asks, by the way, thank you for your support, sir. He's in all our comments and everything, so we appreciate it. This is kind of neat. This is not an unpopular opinion. I haven't caught up since my comment earlier, but this is the most civil post on Facebook I've seen today. At least there's no arguing or fighting. That's kind of a good point. This is in our working class bow hunters group. Like, people are just throwing in unpopular opinions. So if you want to throw these in, go to our group and search unpopular opinion and find this post. There's like 350 some comments in it. That's what I'm pulling from.
That's a lot of comments.
There's some funny ones in here. Okay, I need to hurry up and pick one because I'm just sitting here reading. Some of these are, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to pick a boring one that's just going to be 2 seconds, you know? Okay. This is funny. This is super fitting. This is 12 weeks ago, and this is super fitting to a post I made on Facebook the other day. Jason Atherton, eating snacks in a tree stand is a sign of weakness. I'll pick that. We'll just go because we'll cover this quickly. Do I think it's a sign of weakness? I think it's a sign that you're not really in it for the game. I feel like if you are eating snacks in the tree stand, you planned out on eating snacks. You didn't plan on killing a buck and get out of there early. You didn't have a game plan. You're going on luck. That's
interesting.
That's my bold statement. It's probably fucking wrong.
That was a very bold statement because I disagree. I mean, sometimes, you know, midday movement and stuff, you got to be in there all day. I'm definitely bringing snacks, at least a Mountain Dew, PB&J probably.
I mean, I'll bring a lunch.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a business. I'm going in, like,
I get what you're saying.
I'm not sitting there eating Snickers bars and chips.
I don't have a buffet in my backpack.
Yeah, the meal is different.
Yeah.
You're getting it to hold you over for the next 5 hours. Yeah. You're not up there popping M&Ms in your suck hole the whole day. This is where this separates for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. When I look at snacks, I'm looking at foods that I don't really enjoy. They are easy to eat. They're quick. They have a lot of calories in them. So it's more like a job. Like I'm getting this out of the way to keep my gut from rolling for the next 4 hours. Plus, yeah. I pack multiple ones in case I do see that shooter and I can stay in the stand all day.
Yeah.
Just like Doug said, if you happen to get in a spot and the movement's hot and you don't want to leave, you got your backup plan with you.
Yeah.
My brother's actually got a pretty good technique. He brings those little, they're not Slim Fast, but they're like a shake that you can drink. They got a lot of calories in them.
Oh, yeah.
You're not crinkling wrappers and shit. You slam it down and you're good for hours.
That's a smart move. See?
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
Efficiency. Purpose.
Yeah. It's not enjoyable. You don't want to be having fun snacking in the stand. You want to get your shit done, get your calories in, and get it out of the way and be quiet.
Yeah, like in my backpack, zipped open on my backpack hook, I'm not reaching in, grabbing like greasy Lay's potato chips. And yeah, I'm not bringing...
You ever see that Family Guy episode when he's trying to be real quiet with the potato chip bag and he's like...
No. I have not.
That's what I feel like when I'm eating in the deer stand.
Is that a fair like separation though? And like my point,
yeah.
Like snacks, like the meal, I get it. Just like I learned from my buddies from Buckshorn, butthole sandwich. It's a bagel, peanut butter, bacon, and syrup, and it's good. It's really good, but it's meant to just eat on the fly. You have it in a Ziploc bag, and you keep going.
Literally fill you up.
Yep.
Get you ready to go.
What do you call it?
Butthole sandwich. It's just a filler. You're moving along.
Last year, I did. I just bought like the package of Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
And just threw it in my backpack. So I just have, that's what I would eat every day.
Yeah, you get the foil.
Yeah, but I just eat it during lunch.
I've been on these coconut butter
stuff it down
bars, and they're noisy. They have the wrapper, but I pack like three of those. They're over 200 calories a piece.
Mm.
Slam like two or three of those. They're delicious.
They're good, huh?
I'm not like Allison all fancy with her little mug of, Hot Pockets and stuff. Pizza rolls.
Dang.
Yeah. That's a woman that's doubting her abilities to kill something. You go in there, you're putting food in a Yeti cup?
Yeah.
Like, what are you packing that out? Like, what are you doing? You're there for that long?
She's eating better than I am, but...
Well, you bring a jet boil and just fucking make soup while you're up there.
I'm bringing a George Foreman grill.
Oh, you got a Mr. Coffee up there? Well, you can't stay awake, you pussy. I'm just kidding. I don't believe that.
Let me holla at you.
I don't believe in anything I just said. I just think it's funny to, like... Here's the thing that people, I think, miss with me sometimes in the podcast. I get in some of these, like, fiery moods.
Yeah.
And I say shit I clearly don't believe in.
We're just having fun.
But people will take me serious. Like, I will go to the grave with that.
It's a goddamn
And I'm like, listen, I don't... You want to eat spaghetti? I think that's hilarious. Like, eat them in the stand. That's funny. But I'm going to give you a little shit. That's part of the fun, you know? But now I have people... Like, we did that Trump post. All I asked was... If a hunting media company was anti-Trump, would you still support them? By the way, we're not anti-Trump. I voted for Trump. I'm very pro-Trump. Mm-hmm. Like, but I don't give a fuck who you voted for. Nor do I care about talking about it. But I had somebody write in like, if you're not anti-Trump, why would you even post that? I'm like, okay, see, this is where it all fucking spirals downhill, you know? But anyway, I just had to clarify that for anybody wondering or boycotting us for anything.
Take a breath.
Yeah, take a breath. It's okay. It's all right. Meter's still on Netflix. I got you. All right. Moving on to the podcast. So that was fun, boys. Kind of a lame one, huh? But
it was all right. It was good.
Eating snacks in a tree stand is a sign of weakness. Fucking hilarious.
Sign of weakness.
So what's up with catching up to our season? The time of recording, this is November 10th.
November 10th.
I've been sitting on my thumbs. I'm going to Indiana here in a few days. Mm-hmm. Going to scout a little bit, try and make some moves. What's up with you, Doug?
I will be hitting it hard the next 5 days. Probably all day sits. Maybe move around, get down, and go somewhere else. But I'll be in the tree from sun up to sundown.
Yeah. Big cold front coming in right now.
Tomorrow's going to be good. Well, tomorrow through Friday, really.
I think tomorrow's going to mark the start of the best week of this season.
I really hope so, but yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I agree.
Yeah, I think Friday, a ton of deer are going to die just because there'll be more people out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this weekend, I agree. I think we'll be really, really, really good.
It's time.
You know, I like hunting after rain. One, I like going in when it's raining because mm-hmm. you feel like yeah. ultimate stealth, mm-hmm. you know? But, like, once the rain starts to trickle down, don't it feel – you just, like
– Well, the timber comes alive. They just start mm-hmm. getting up and, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You start making Play-Doh snakes just waiting for that rain to stop. You're just like –
My man.
Yeah, let's get moving here. Yeah, I like it right when the rain quits. But if I can stay kind of dry, if, like, my tree has sort of a canopy, I don't mind sitting in the rain. But once you start getting chilled to the bone, then
yeah.
you got to make a move or
– That's true.
I mean, depends, you know, if you're hunting in the afternoon, you know, you got an hour and a half till dark and you can stick it out. I'd definitely do it if you're there.
It's definitely not fun drying your clothes off, though.
Mm-mm, no.
Or that walk back of not successful and just wet.
You still got your SpaghettiOs, so it's fine.
My Yeti cup.
Allison's going to listen to this and be like, fuck you guys.
Oh, yeah, she's going to hate on us hard.
That's all right. I mean, you did it, you know. So,
yeah, it's my fault. She'll get it.
Not you. So who's on the radar still? Lucifer from the previous
episode? I got Lucifer, and then I got a new property that I'm hunting. It's about a 170-inch, maybe 180 10-pointer.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I actually went there Friday to scout it, parked my truck, 60 yards was a little finger, walked past it, tried to find a spot, found a spot, put my stand up. Walking back to the truck, right by that 60-acre patch, there was just a little buck came out, and I was looking at him, and then I seen a doe about 40 yards get up, and I just seen a rack just get up. And if I had my bow, I maybe could have shot him, but he was a nice buck.
Damn.
He's a giant. Mm. And he didn't give a shit. He was just grunting and chased her off. So.
Gotta love the rut.
That's
hopefully
inspiring.
Hopefully he breaks free and starts searching around this week.
Yep.
Or just chases that doe right by you.
That works too. Hopefully she just comes by.
It's the weekend to do it, man. I don't know where our predictions were. We need to check this real quick before
we do
that.
You said Friday for me. You said Sunday for Eric.
Yeah, who was the closest on mine?
Did we not write those down?
I think we that was...
Oh, yeah, I did. Here, hold on. Oh, yeah, here. The Lord. Let me check my notes.
The Lord.
I said 11:13 by 11 a.m., and Doug said 11:21 by 4 p.m.
Oh, man.
Ooh, Kurt, you got him.
Wow. Early counts, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a broad window. I said Ross by... What day's today, the 10th? I said Ross the 13th by 4. You said the 11th by 8 a.m. You failed.
Tomorrow's the 11th.
Yeah.
If it is the 11th.
If he kills tomorrow morning, you're right on.
Right. I'm thinking ahead.
Come on, Ross.
Ooh.
He's going to be up working all night, and he's not going to be able to hunt in the morning.
Yeah.
That's unfair.
Got this mustache now. That's just...
God damn it.
All right. Well, anyway.
Month slowly losing.
So with you, Chandler, man, how's your season been going with the trad life?
Doing a lot better now. If you'd asked me about 10 days ago, I'd have probably said, I don't want to really talk about it. But
isn't it funny how things change?
It didn't take long. I shot that doe. Finally got to...
We didn't really talk about the doe at all.
No, we haven't. Let's back up a little bit. Yeah.
I should see if Shad can call in for a second at the end of this. But
I could just start at the beginning of my season, I guess, and kind of just give a general build-up of why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, because I think if people who listen might know, but if someone just jumps on this, they see a deer with a recurve, they might... I don't know. Just give some background, you know, that explains it all.
Yeah.
Because you're doing something different than what we normally do.
Yeah. I've targeted mature deer my whole life. I was fortunate enough when I was 15 years old, I shot a giant deer, grossed 170. And after shooting that, I was like, well, this is what I want to do. I'm not, you know, I don't want to shoot young deer. So through the years, that's been my direction. I've always targeted mature, high scoring animals. I hunt a lot, so I can be pretty picky.
Yeah.
You get two tags in Illinois, so, you know, I'm looking at that 150 plus mark. So that's been the direction I've went. This past year, I don't know why I think Shad had a lot to do with it. Just his passion for traditional archery kind of inspired me to go out and purchase a longbow and start practicing in the backyard. And after I did it, I just fell in love with it. And I knew then that I was going to try to hunt with it. I didn't know how dedicated I was going to be at the time. Practiced for several months. It was actually right about after the shoot, right after I talked with Shad, that I went ahead and purchased it's a Stalker stick bow. It's actually a long bow, but the limbs kind of have a little bit of a recurve look to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like the look of a typical long bow, but this looks more like a recurve.
Yeah,
but you don't get the string slap on it. It's a lot more quiet. It's just a really nice shooting, quiet, smooth bow.
String slap on like the limbs.
Yeah, so with a recurve, you get a little bit of hand shock and a little bit of string slap. It's just a little noisier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really in love with this bow that I've got. But
what made you pick this particular bow?
It was cheap, and I knew Stalkers were nice. And I was looking for a recurve, but I'm like, well, this kind of looks like a recurve. You know, it doesn't have that typical long bow look.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I purchased it used from a guy on Facebook and put it together and started shooting it. And I was just instantly like, man, this is a nice shooting little bow.
But yeah.
It's a Stalker Jackal FXT. You can get online and look them up. They're beautiful bows. 62 inch tip to tip. Got it all tuned.
What's
in.
The axle to axle though?
The axle to axle, 62.
Oh, the axle. Okay. Right.
What's the cams?
Yeah. Where's the wheels?
Wheels
are for cars.
So I get this thing and I'm practicing all summer. 10 yards, you know, I'm comfortable at 10 yards. 15 yards is okay. You know, get back to 20 is kind of pushing my limits. I'm kind of getting outside the pie plate range more than half the time. So
the what?
The pie plate range. So I use a pie plate as a judge. Yeah. Like no. If I can keep it within a pie plate, I feel pretty good with that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But this bow is only 43 pounds at 28 inches, so it's not it's not really designed to shoot, you know, 50 yards. It's a lower speed, poundage bow. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling pretty confident with it by the time season comes in. Like, I think, you know, I knew it was probably going to take several opportunities before I could capitalize and shoot something.
Mm-hmm.
Started out the season, you know, I didn't really feel like I was at a disadvantage as far as like setting up and getting close to the deer. I mean, most of the deer that I've killed with a compound are within 25 yards. Like,
yeah.
80% of them are less than 25 yards. So mm-hmm. I didn't really feel like that was going to be my disadvantage. Just my ability to group tight enough to put a good shot on a deer was my biggest fear.
Especially being elevated and all that.
And that was one of my weaknesses. I practiced a lot flat-footed in the backyard.
Yep.
Harvest came on, caught up a lot faster to me than I thought, and I didn't have a lot of experience shooting from an elevated position.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me shoot my natural point of aim. It just makes me hit a lot higher than where I think it's going to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've struggled with that. I've shot I think I've shot 7 or 8 arrows this season at deer, and all but one of them have went high.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough for me to get down and drop down low enough. But
I can see, just from what little experience I have shooting in the yard, I can definitely see once you're up high aiming down. I feel like I would do the same thing on how
yeah.
I aim too.
You're gonna mess with my mental game.
Yep, it's tough instinctively. You know, it just feels like the arrow is going to go lower than what it actually does.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that I've changed up here in the last few weeks. I've kind of went from an instinctive style of shooting more to what they call, it's like a split vision. So mm-hmm. you're using the bow and the riser as kind of a reference on where you should place it and aim with, and then in combining that with instinctive.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like a hybrid type of aiming.
Oh, really? Interesting.
So that's kind of what I've switched up to, and I've noticed a lot more consistency, especially on at 15 and 20 yards. My groups are a lot better. So
nice. Okay, that's interesting, because I don't know anything when it comes to like getting to that detail.
Yeah, me neither.
Because what I do, I feel like every time I shoot a traditional bow, I don't know how to feel or how to aim.
Yep.
So I do like the fully instinctive.
Yep.
And then I do a little bit of what you're talking about, but I didn't know it was called that. I didn't really know that was like a legit method.
There's literally like 6 or 8 different types of aiming styles. And it's cool to read up on them and read like how, I mean, there's some pretty crazy stuff out there that guys are doing, the fixed crawl and, yeah, a whole nother podcast there just on, and just on traditional styles of shooting. But
yeah,
but this is the style that I'm using. Basically, it's instinctive, but it's kind of using the riser of the bow as a reference,
kind of as your
for,
pen,
for yardage. Yeah,
gotcha.
Yep. So I've adapted that the last few days, and that's the method that I used on the doe and the buck, and it did seem to help. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So building up, I had faith in you the whole time, I will say. I mean, I knew it was going to be a struggle a little bit. That's probably why some of the nicknames are a struggle stick for some of them.
It is definitely a struggle.
but let me give you some credit, because you're a very calculated whitetail killer, and I think everyone that's familiar with our show knows this.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a thing. But if in case this is someone's first episode, because it's a traditional-ish podcast. I mean, we're not experts on it or anything like that, but we're talking about it.
No, I'm a novice at best. I mean, I've been doing this 3 months. Like, I know absolutely nothing about it. I bought a book and I've read, and that's where most of my knowledge has come from. Like, it's,
but you're doing it though. That's a way to learn at it.
It's all theoretical. Nothing is really field learned yet. So
yeah,
but I'm having a blast, and that's the only way to learn, is to get the bow in your hand and get out there in the timber and just start using it.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah,
for sure. But I mean, you've killed a lot of big deer. You've killed almost every kind of deer, you know what I mean, from double drops to big typicals to bucks with junk and trash all over them, and you've kind of got, you're very well rounded in the whitetail world.
Yeah.
So is that part of like the allure to this, like you were like, oh, man, something new, I haven't done it?
Yeah, I've always had the desire to do it. I actually wounded a doe when I was in high school with the recurve, and it's just always been something that I've been really captivated by and interested in. I don't know what it is, just something really pure about the whole traditional thing. And I'm the same way. Like I've always wanted to learn how to fly fish. I look at fly fishing as like the traditional side of fishing. There's just something that's very romantic, and it was just really interesting to me.
Yeah.
And then you meet up with somebody like Shad, and they're so passionate about it, it just kind of ignites that fire up again.
That dude is like so passionate about traditional archery. It's cool.
Yep.
It's actually interesting just to hear him talk, like,
yeah, you want to sit down and listen, even if you don't shoot traditional, you just want to sit down and listen to him talk. He's just an interesting guy. And
then if he sees you're interested, he's like, hey.
Yep. Very well educated in the traditional game.
And I like Shad a lot. Like, so we met Shad through Joe Elmfries from Big Time. And Shad's kind of like, he kind of has my style, but just a little older dude. You know, like gauges and tattoos. He's a rocker, yeah. Actually, his band is fucking awesome.
His band is fucking awesome.
And we'll put links in the description. But where was I going with this? Yeah, he's that type of dude. Like, you see these bows, and they're like works of art. They're beautiful, and they're just, you don't really want to touch them. And you go up, and like, he had them set out at the shoot, and people would come up and look and be like, you want to shoot it? Go take it. Go shoot it. Like, you ain't going to hurt it. What are you going to do to it?
They're so much fun. So much fun to shoot, too.
Oh, yeah, they're a lot of fun. Yeah. I enjoyed that. I have an old one. An old American Archery one that I mean, you see it. It's over there in the corner. But
I've shot it.
It's I feel like that one's like clanky and like hand shock. I mean, it's a recurve.
Yeah, it's a recurve, and it's a cheaper bow. I mean, but you can shoot good with it. I mean, it's a good shooting old bow.
Yeah, I think I would enjoy one that, like, I feel like if it just felt a little smoother and something I like maybe invested some, not that I got to buy the top of the line thing. I'm not saying that, but I guess.
Well, you have to, so to begin with, you have to tune your bow. Like, to get it to shoot the way that it's supposed to and feel the way it's supposed to, you have to tune it. By tuning it, you're setting your brace height. So the manufacturer has a recommended brace height that you set it to, and you do that by taking twist in or out of the string. So, like, my bow likes a 7.5-inch brace height approximately. So I tried, anywhere from 7 to 8, found that sweet spot by taking twist in and out of the string, lengthening or shortening your brace height. And then you find that spot where it's really as smooth as it can be in your hand and as quiet as it can be. And then that's what you build off of. That's what you tune with.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, and then to tune, you basically add weight or take away weight from your arrow. You can do that by adding weight up front, getting a heavier or lighter arrow, and then the length of the arrow.
No kidding.
Yeah. So there's a lot to it. And if you're knocking high or low or left or right, that tells you what you need to do to your arrow to get it to correct. So you want a perfectly tuned, straight flying arrow out of the trad bow. That's what you're looking for.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Different. And something you could probably just do. I mean, the arrow is different. You know, you could build your arrow, but like the tuning, you just twist it and experiment and shoot and try it different things.
You set your brace height first and then you build your arrows according once mm-hmm. you have your brace height set. Yeah.
It's freaking cool, man.
You seem to do a lot of research, so.
Well, I guess you'd have to if you're, you committed, though. That's the difference. You aren't just winging it.
Like, yeah, just like buy it and start shooting and just go out there. And
what made the most sense to me was I just got on Three Rivers Archery site. They're a great site for traditional equipment, and they had a book on there. I think it's Learning How to Shoot the Stick Bow or something like that. And it's a thick, I mean, it's like a 2-inch thick book. And I just started reading through that and learning. And it's a lot of very good information in that book. So that's that was the easiest way for me to do it. If you have buddies that are into it, they can help you. But that for me, that was just I didn't have to make a phone call every day that way. So
right, you're not calling Shad up every day.
Yeah.
Hey, but he would.
I did. I had a ton of questions for him.
Really?
He was really cool about it. Yeah.
That's awesome. So let's break it down. Let's talk about like first shot at a deer type thing.
Yeah, started the season, was getting real close to deer. I'm trying to think here. The first doe that I shot at, she came out into a food plot. I'd probably been hunting 10 days before I got a deer that was close enough. You know, either broadside or quartering away is what you're looking for. You really have to be a lot pickier with your shot selection compared to a compound.
Yeah.
So I finally got the opportunity that I wanted, and I shot at her, and it went high.
Mm-hmm. And right over.
Yep. And luckily, that longbow's quiet enough, she couldn't hear it. So she came back in. I missed her the first time at 20. I missed her again at 22, shot right over again at 22. And then like an hour later, she came back in, and she busted me that time. She got my wind, and she was spooky. And then she was at like 15, and she ducked me. I missed her high again. At like 15, so I was pissed. My first deer, I missed her three times.
Oops.
Not a good way to start out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, I knew this was going to be a thing. Like, I'm just going to keep grinding. I had, you know, probably 10 days of hunting in it already.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
It is what it is.
Hey. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's part of it. I would, you know. Like you said, you knew that was a thing.
Yeah,
I knew it was. I knew I wasn't going to go out there and just ace my first shot. I knew I was going to have to put some work in and learn and, you know, climb the ladder. And persistence is everything in archery in general. And with traditional archery, it's persistence is everything.
Yeah,
even more. So, messed that opportunity up. Shot low because I was so mad after shooting high three times. I'm like, I'm deliberately aiming underneath this doe. And I did. I hit low and I hit her in the leg, the front leg. Just barely grazed her. So it wasn't like a catastrophic, you know, like it wasn't enough to make me set the bow down. Like, all right. I knew
it was a nick type thing.
Yep. I knew that shot was probably going to be low, and it was. And she was alert too. So that makes it tough, you know, with a slower bow.
Yeah.
So that messed that opportunity up. A few days later, had another doe come in, beautiful, perfect shot, 15 yards, shot high on her. By this time, I'm like, man, is this like, am I on the right path? You know, should I really be doing this, or am I just like out here wasting my time?
Yeah.
So I was getting discouraged. I actually, a few days later, I pulled the compound out for the first time and shot like 10 arrows in the backyard. I'm like, man, I'm at 50 yards, like hitting a softball. I'm like, man, this is nice.
Oh yeah, wheels of our cars.
It was nice.
Like, cars are rolling.
my groups at 50 were better than my groups at 10 with the longbow. But I put it back. I'm like, you know, I just wanted to.
Are you getting judgy on compounds?
No,
I feel
like
there was a little bit, you know, higher horse in your voice.
No, I'm not. I just wanted to. I blew the dust off of it. I just wanted to make sure that it was still on and that it was still shooting, just in case that 180 tripped my camera. I'm like, fuck, I got to grab the compound.
Yeah.
So I was just making sure old Bertha's still there in the basement.
Yeah, it's all lonely.
Yep. So I shot it. I shot it a few arrows, and it felt good. But I picked the longbow back up, and I finally got an opportunity, a really nice, close, unalert doe. She come out to feed in a big tine plot. It was a hang and bang hunt, and she came out broadside 10 yards, and I pulled back and just smashed her. I actually hit a little high from where I was aiming, but I was up so high. I was like probably 23 foot,
mm-hmm.
and she was 10 yards. So I hit her up close to the backstrap, but when it exited, it was bottom of the heart.
Hell yeah.
So
perfect shot.
Yeah, I've never seen a deer die faster with a compound.
Like, no kidding.
She ran up on the hill 30, 40 yards away. She was alive maybe 15 seconds after I shot her.
No shit.
Yep.
Damn.
She was dead on her feet.
Didn't go 20.
Didn't go 20. It went through and it fell out of her like maybe 10 or 15 yards after it was, it passed through her.
Yeah. Nice, man.
So I guess we could talk about my arrow setup, but it's heavy. It's only a 43 pound bow, but I'm shooting a 600 grain arrow. It's a Victory carbon trad 450, almost full length. I've got like an inch cut off of them. So it's tuned to my bow.
Yeah, long draw length anyways, though.
I'm pulling about 28 to 29 with that. Yeah, with a mm-hmm. compound, I'm 29.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm shooting, and it's got an 80 grain insert, and then it's got 175 grain VPA, single bevel head, non-vented, so it's all solid one-piece, three-blade.
Nice.
And you sharpen those up yourself. They come pretty sharp, but you put a better edge on them when you get them, so mm-hmm. you can shave with them. You get them. Get them sharp.
No kidding.
So, yeah, that blasted right through her, and I immediately saw blood and saw her go down. So that was really gratifying to know that the longbow could actually kill something.
Right. Like,
it was
yeah.
possible.
It had weight in its ass. Yeah. Yep. How did that feel, like watching that doe fall?
It was so fast. That shot was so fast. The arrow went, I mean, everything was perfect. It looked just like I shot her with a compound.
Really?
Just blasted through her. I'm like, man, when they're within 10, 15 yards, that's a very efficient weapon.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm the weak link. Like, I'm the one that's having a hard time shooting it. It's definitely not the bow's fault.
Mm-hmm.
So, very gratifying. You know, that had been a long time coming. I'd wanted to do that for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Pretty emotional for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was only a doe, but it was a big, mature doe. You know, I passed up young deer, button bucks, young bucks, probably passed up 20 deer.
Really?
To just target mature deer. So,
yeah.
Very cool,
man. That's
awesome.
Yeah,
big old nanny under your belt.
It was a big accomplishment for me. Like I told Lee, I said, I've checked off the main goal on my list for this season. I got to kill a deer with traditional equipment.
It's freaking huge, man.
That was very big for me.
So what was next where you're like, all right, cool, I got this done? Did you chill for a little bit? Did you celebrate? Or were you like, all right, back at it?
Well, I went out and had a steak and celebrated with my Canadian buddies that night. They were in town, and they just thought it was the coolest thing ever. So, yeah, I mean, I was right back in the stand the next day, and now I've got a new fire lit under my ass, you know. Now I'm like, all right, now I can do this. Now I know it can be done, you know. I didn't want it to have to take two or three more opportunities at shooting at bucks, because I might only get two or three opportunities in a season.
Did you think about picking the compound back up after?
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
You were more sticking involved.
I was more driven than I'd ever been at that point.
Like, nice. Kidding.
Yep.
Well, that was a big turning point.
Middle of the rut, and I'm not even looking at the compound. And I knew that was my time. Like, if I'm going to kill a buck with this thing, it's going to be the first or second week in November is when I'm going to get it done.
Yeah. So you're in the stand the next day, right after. No breaks. Yep. Let's go.
Morning and night.
Fuck right. Fucking yep. right. So let's go into the next one, man, because you're just like a ball of fire now.
Yeah, I was amped up. I was really getting close on some decent deer down south. I've been more aggressive this year than I normally am as far as getting in. I've actually bumped like three big deer getting in on them.
Just trying to get in close?
Just trying to get close enough. You know, you have to be closer with this traditional equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And just bad luck. I've got pictures of them, go in a few hours later and run into them on the way in.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I was having a lot of luck seeing good bucks, just nothing that was quite big enough. You know, I passed up probably four or five deer right around 120, you know, a nice three, even a four-year-old that was like 5 yards, showing me his armpit, I mean, quartering away. It was beautiful. I almost cried. The shot was so pretty.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it. I wasn't being picky, but I wanted a nice, old, solid, mature deer.
Mm-hmm.
Score wasn't my highest priority, but I wanted something that was nice, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted a nice, you know, 120, 130 type buck
mm-hmm.
for my first buck, and I wanted him to be old.
Yeah, so for sure. That's really what matters. You know?
That's kind of what I set my goal at for my first buck. And I went to one of my favorite stands. You've heard me talk about the pasture farm before.
Yep.
This is where I kill a lot of my big deer. It's a stand I call Roger's Stand because a guy that actually got me into hunting had put a stand in here years ago, and it's in a great spot. Lots of acorns drop. I've killed a couple big deer out of this spot. But when the rut's in, it's just kind of a connection for a bunch of bedding. There's a bunch of ridges that kind of meet, and it's like a travel corridor between bedding. So when the rut's in, it's money. But I hadn't been able to hunt it because I needed a south-southeast wind. Like that, I hunt it with a southeast or a south-southeast. That's the only time I go in there. So I finally got that wind. I went in that morning, and there was, within the first 30 minutes, I'd seen a little buck. And then a chase about an hour after I was in the stand. So it was good. You know, there was some activity. And it was around 7:30 when I saw the doe pop up. And she was 30 yards from me before I saw her. It's kind of like she came down into a low drop and came up. And she's right there next to me, 30 yards. So I was watching her, and I could tell there was something with her. And when he came up, I put the binocs up, and the first side that I saw was his left side, which is his weak side. He's got like a four inch three and a 5'2", just kind of short.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's a good deer. And then he turned and I saw his right side. I'm like, oh shit, that's a pretty good buck. And then I really got kind of analyzing him. And it was pretty easy to recognize, like, that's an old deer.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Gray in the face, gray in the nose, notched deer, huge neck, big body.
Been like, around a while.
The kind of deer that's bruiser. A no-brainer. Like, that's not a three-year-old. You know, that's a five or six or maybe even older deer. I put the binocs down. I'm like, if he gives it to me, I'm going to take it. I got a little GoPro running in the tree with me.
I love that way of filming.
Yeah, after watching your bear hunt, I'm like, that video is so good. Why am I toting around all this bullshit?
It makes everything look far away. Like, we're not, like, filming Heartland Bowhunter, but we're getting kills on film.
It's awesome. It's awesome for your own personal use. Like, if you're not filming for anybody, it's perfect, and it's easy to set up. It takes all the hassle out of it.
I know. I need to get one of the screw-in-the-tree mounts.
And yeah, we should all do that, probably.
I should do it every time, but I don't know, whatever. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool you had it. So, all this is on film.
Yeah, so I got it rocking, and he's on her hot, and he keeps looking behind him. I'm like, well, shit, maybe there's a booner behind him.
Yeah.
Well, this little dink 2-year-old 8-pointer comes up, and he's trying to get in, and this big buck keeps running him off. Well, they were within 30 yards of me for 10 minutes. And finally, the big buck goes to nose the doe, you know, how they kind of push him and direct him.
Yep.
And luckily, he directed her right towards me. And you can see in the video, I'm ranging her. She's about 18, and he actually came in closer. So that was my first mistake, was I wasn't really paying attention where he was in relation to her. I just kind of, I was shooting him for closer to 20 than I was 15.
Yeah.
And the shot went high. You know, it's over in a flash with that longbow. It doesn't take long to draw, anchor, and release.
Right.
And I saw the arrow hit. It hit right up close to the spine, but did not spine him. Exited a couple inches under his hairline on his back. I knew it wasn't a fatal hit. Shot.
Yeah.
He run up on the ridge.
What was going through your head, though, before you shot? Were you like, oh, shit? Or did it happen so quick, like, you didn't really process
it? I thought I was going to drill him. Like, he was close enough. He was actually about 15 yards when I shot him.
Right.
Like, I was pretty confident I was going to hit him. And I hit him, but it was too high.
Yeah.
So he run up on the ridge, and I'm watching him. And the doe and the little buck are kind of just like frozen. They're just kind of looking around like, what was that? And pretty soon that little buck came back in to try to get on that doe. And that buck that I'd shot, when he saw that, he's like, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah.
He came right back in.
It's a no for me, dog.
Yep.
That's a no for me,
dog. You can see the little buck chase the doe around behind me. So I'm like, all right, this is good, because they're on the opposite side of me. He's got to come past me to get to them. Well, they went up and kind of went out and around and disappeared towards the middle of my farm, and that buck went to take after him. I thought he was going to choose the closer trail and come right under me, but he didn't. He opted for the split, the further trail. It was the trail he was on was it was 31 yards. When he went to go, you could hear him grunt in the video, and I mean, I didn't even think that's too far to shoot. I was just so
zoned in,
and I'd already put an arrow in him. I was just in that mentality, like, if he gives me another shot, I'm going
to
take it.
Yeah, you have to finish the deal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'll just say this now. I don't condone 30-yard shots with a longbow, especially if you don't practice, which I didn't. Like 25 was kind of the max that I practiced at, but I had a decent feel for trajectory at 25 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
This deer stopped, and there was a small opening, and I'm talking small. Like, I'm amazed that the arrow even made it there. It's honestly kind of a miracle, but he stopped, and you can see it in the video. I just draw, anchor, release, and you can hear that. You can just hear it. And
you hear the diaphragm pop on the GoPro.
It's just that good shot sound that you want to hear. And as soon as I hit him, he just takes off as hard as he can. The kind of reaction you want to see, like, that's a lethal hit deer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't believe it. Like, the arch of that arrow was so beautiful. It was going to him. It looked like it was going to go a foot over his back. I'm like, well, I got the distance. And then you just see it at the last second. Just
lob
it. I lost the arrow. I couldn't see exactly where it hit, but I knew it was real. It looked real, real good.
Yeah.
And after hearing the smack and seeing that deer's reaction, I'm like,
you hear the pop of, like, the diaphragm or something, or whatever it is.
I could not believe it. I couldn't believe that I had missed a 15-yard shot, and I thought it was close to 35 yards. I couldn't believe that I'd made that shot. It was a lot of emotion. You can see it in the video.
The video is pretty good.
The video is fantastic.
It's way better than you gave it credit for.
Yeah. Right? Yep. I think it turned out pretty well, but just kind of took a moment to look around and really just soak in everything. I mean, it was a big moment for me. You know, the sun shining through and the leaves were raining down, and the temperature was really nice. It was just a really beautiful moment for me.
Yeah.
Dude,
it's fucking awesome. When you texted the group and you're like, you know, I've got one or whatever. And I just remember reading, like, you hit one or whatever. I don't even remember exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Tried to call you immediately. Well, I texted you. I think you called me.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it was just fucking cool. I knew you were going to do it.
I didn't, but
well, yeah, I get that though.
I was hoping for that opportunity, but you know, it's tough. It's tough to get a mature deer within 20 yards. And you know, some seasons it just doesn't work out, but I'm persistent enough that I'll get several opportunities with my compound. I was just hoping that it'd be close enough and he'd stop and give me the right angle and everything that I needed. And, I can't say that this shot really qualified for any of that, but I'm glad that I took it because
mindset is, once you already hit an animal, you don't know exactly, like, you get down, there could be like, oh shit,
it was in the back of my mind. Like, he's close enough. Maybe it came out lower than I thought. But the way he was reacting to that doe, he was grunting as he went towards her. So, I've seen crazier stuff, you know, I could have clipped along and still had him behaving like that, but it probably wasn't likely. But
for sure.
For whatever reason, I took the shot, made the shot, got down, looked at blood, and there's blood right at the shot.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit. And it's good. It's good blood. Like, there is 50 big drops of blood right at the shot.
Oh yeah. Oh really?
And I'm like, oh shit.
Pumping right out the gate.
Yep. I smashed him. So I called up Ross and had Ross come out, and he met me and my best friend, Cody Evans. He met up with me. He's been into traditional archery for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's really in love with it too. So that was cool to have those guys with me. We tracked that deer probably 150 to 200 yards. The blood started getting darker.
Mm-hmm.
It was good blood, but it was dark blood. And I wasn't sure where the shot had went. So from experience, I was like, well, it's probably liver, you know.
Yeah,
we're going to do the right thing. I've jumped liver shot deer up before, and I'm not going to do it. So I hated to do it, but it was warm that day. It was in the mid-70s. Shot him at 8 o'clock that morning, and we waited till 3 or 3:30 that afternoon before we went back in. Had a whole party with me, my wife, my 5-year-old son. Cody came back. Brennan Jensen, who's on the team, he was there. My cousin Justin was with me, and it was just a really fun group to have with me.
Yeah.
We trailed that deer for about 500 yards, and I was getting discouraged, but when we walked up on him, Brennan was the first one to see him.
Yeah.
He's like, there he is, the dead deer.
No shit.
And we walked up, and he'd been dead a while. Rigor mortis had set in, but I don't know that deer would have been dead if we'd have, you know, waited two hours and went in after him, because it was exactly what I thought. Perfectly placed up and down, just about 3 or 4 inches further back than a double lung shot. So I don't know that I got a lung, but I got liver. When I took his liver on, it had a broadhead hole in it. So,
no kidding.
Yep. So
it's good to know, like, that, you know, autopsy, you see, like, okay, this is, you were right. It just backs up what you thought.
When you liver shoot a deer, give them 7-8 hours.
Yeah, you need to make the right move.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, it worked out. I walked up. I was just elated with the size of him and his age and the big notch in his ear. I mean, he's huge neck. He's just a gnarly old buck.
That's awesome.
Really nice buck for a traditional buck for my first one.
Did you kind of, I mean, not that you downplayed it, but you brought it in. And it's a stud.
He's a deer that I wouldn't look at with my compound.
I'd shoot him with a compound.
and a lot of guys would. I mean, he's an ancient, old, just a cool-looking deer.
That's why.
But I hunt every day, morning and night, 4 months at a time. So I have to be, like, I can usually fill tags with a couple good ones, so I'm pretty picky.
Yeah, understandably so.
This deer scored 138 inches. He's a great deer. If his left would have matched his right, he'd have been 150, right at 150.
Mm-hmm.
Got a 25-inch beam.
That's impressive.
He's got a 20.5-inch spread, 4.5-inch bases. You know, just
wide and heavy.
Just a really nice, solid. He's going to look good on the wall. Like he's not. People aren't going to come up there and look at him and be like, "Look at that piece of shit." You know, he's a cool looking deer. He's going to fit in just fine with everybody else.
He's framey.
Yep.
He's framey.
He is framey.
No, I think he looks great. I would be, dude. What you did is insane for your first year hunting with traditional Clement. It's impressive, man.
I'm elated. I'm more in love with it now and more driven now than I've ever been.
Yeah.
I still got one tag in my pocket. I'm going to be picky on this one, obviously, because I've still got a long time to hunt, and I hate to get rid of a tag before late season gets here.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying if I see that.
You're not going to try and pull a Kurt, huh?
No. Well, like I said, I hunt every day, morning and night, so I can afford to be picky. But this deer that I'm looking at is a big 11-pointer that I passed a couple times last year, and he's got 6-inch bases. Like, he was massive last year. So
you're going in purely with the same bow and everything.
I would like to shoot him with the long bow or another deer that's 50s plus. An old 5-year-old 50s
plus.
So
you're not picking the compound up.
Not yet. No, I'm not. Late season's going to be tricky because you know how these deer get when the snow's on. They've been hunted. They're antsy. It's going to be a little tougher with the longbow in the late season. But I've still got a lot of good hunting before that gets here.
Yep,
so.
For sure. Yeah, I think the best days of November are going into this weekend like we talked earlier.
I think tomorrow could be the day. I mean, I'm going to go in and try to get in close on that 11-pointer tomorrow. It might take me 2 weeks, but hopefully I can have an encounter with him.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Huge awesome. Bow hunting accomplishment.
Yes, it was. I would say I'm at the pinnacle of my bow hunting career right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure. I would
fucking
say.
Man.
I feel all of us within the working class crew are kind of, maybe not you, Chandler, but like for the rest of us, like speaking for Doug and Eric, and I don't know if it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like because of the podcast and our involvement of surrounding ourselves around people who live for this shit, like think of our whole crew, everybody, only time we talk, we talk all year, but always about hunting.
Yep.
It's never about anything else. That's it, hunting. Nothing else.
Yep.
If it is, it's little blurb, and then we're back on food, you name it.
Yeah.
We're talking about something hunting. That's what I love about kind of the community we've built.
You've built a really nice community of, it's a tight-knit community, but it's just like-minded individuals. Everybody's got the same goal. Everybody's kind of wired the same, and I think everybody really mesh well together.
Good, and we have team working class, so that's a great team, but we're talking about the OGs too, more specifically, which is like the guys from the beginning that have always supported the podcast, like would they bleed working class somewhere like that. You cut somebody open, the little logos come out. Little WCB
little green
logo.
Blood.
Lime green blood. But it's cool, man. But creating that environment is all made us better hunters, maybe.
Oh, for sure.
Physically, mentally, wherever it is. Like, I feel more calculated on killing whitetails than I've ever felt right now.
Oh, me too.
And talking to Chandler, I had a certain situation with another deer I'd like to kill, but I'm tagged out, and that's a story for another time. Then we had that conversation. I called you to kind of vent a little bit to you. This was the same day. You were waiting. You were killing time waiting to go recover your buck that we just talked about. And you kind of hit me with that too, like going back to like passing deer and stuff. I like that topic. It's like, you're like, well, Kurt, you know, last three seasons, you've kind of tagged out, and you're kind of to the point where I was at. And like, you went back, you're like, I remember a couple of years where I tagged out on good bucks, but you know, then you
have the giant show up.
You have a giant show up, or you maybe, and not that I'm regretting anything. I definitely don't. I'd shoot all my bucks over again from this year. But there's a turning point, I think, that happens And I think I'm kind of experiencing that a little bit. Like
you're, like you said, you're dialed in. You know what you're doing. You have farm ground now that can allow you to target the bigger animal. And now that you've accomplished, you know, once again, you're tagged down. You're tagged down earlier than I've ever been. Mm-hmm. To be tagged down on two mature deer in October is really a feat. I think everybody knows that you're pretty well dialed in now. So now you're going to start kind of adapting the same philosophy that I have, where you can really see the value in later season and the draw of snow and cold temperatures and what that can do for really big deer.
Yeah,
it's hard. It's hard to punch two tags for me unless they're two really, really good deer.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, definitely don't, by saying that, I don't want anyone to take that like I'm regretting it, but it's like that whole,
it's just a progression.
It's a progression. Yep. It was in the moment. I was like, I was like moving trail cams around. I pulled some stands down and stuff like that last weekend. And I was in the woods in November, not hunting.
Yeah.
And that's never happened to me before. So it's a weird feeling for me. Like I kind of got sad a little because it's like, I'm so into it.
Yep.
Which is why I'm thankful I'm going to Indiana, but I know I'm not going to get to go there a lot.
Yep.
But so I had that and then just, I don't know, weird emotions, I guess.
When I tag out, I'm like, I'm bothering Ross. I'm like, dude, you going hunting? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, go hunting so I can go with you and film. I can't ask Leah. If I tag out, I got to go with my brother, my dad, Ross, any other That's friends awesome. That are going. Like, I cannot sit at home in November. I can't do it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad so it's good too because my daughter's at like an age where normally I would be getting to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I get to Thanksgiving after everybody's already ate dinner type shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm back. Then I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm here. Just change real quick. And then it's like, I didn't really get, I'm going to enjoy that, right, with my daughter at a fun age. But also, like, if I'm not running to Indiana to hunt, you know, my old man is going to be hunting our lease pretty heavily on that big 10 plot. It's like, hey, I could throw up a hang on.
Yeah, take along.
I'll step in your seat and throw one up and climb into that, you know. And
that's funny you brought up that up about Isle of May and Thanksgiving. My son's birthday is on November 13th.
Oh, yeah?
Every year, Leah plans his birthday parties at 11 or 12 o'clock. So I hunt the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
I come back for the party, and I'm back in the stand in the afternoon.
Perfect. Right. Yeah, I mean, it's the little things, you know. And that's Sam and I are also trying to avoid November kids, you know. But
it's a good idea. Yeah.
But hey,
Valentine's Day is stupid.
Yeah, it's a bad move. But
it's a no-no.
Yeah, like the evolution of bow hunting is crazy, man. I'm going to text Shad and see if he wants to hop on for a quick segment.
Shad has so much knowledge when it comes to traditional stuff. It's fun to just pick one subject and pick his brain and just listen to him talk. It's like, damn, this guy's been doing this for a while.
Yeah, he's a cool guy, interesting dude. I might see him this weekend.
I knew nothing about arrows or broadheads or anything, and that helped me out a lot.
We'll see. I just shot him a text. We'll see if so. We'll cut out for a second. Be right back. But no, man, that's, you've accomplished like the pinnacle of what bow hunters wish they could do, or it's just like the ultimate badass move. And yeah,
that wasn't my goal in doing it. A lot of people, my brothers, kind of said the same thing. You know, well, you know, you've got to impress people. You got to keep impressing people. Well, that's not why,
weird way to put it.
It's not why I did it. I did it for me. You know, I'm at a point in my career where I felt like I could take a breather and back off for a season and really try something that I wanted to do. And it's just such an incredible feeling to carry that light little thing in your hand and think, I'm trying to kill a deer with this thing. Like, what am I even doing?
Yeah.
You know,
it's just wood.
Yeah. But it was for me. It's something I've always wanted to do. And,
I'm glad you said it that way. Or I guess your brother or your cousin said that.
My brother.
Yeah. You don't like killing bucks is not about impressing people. Like, it's a personal journey.
Yep. Well, for so many people, so many people, it's still about the size of the buck. Like, it's
for sure,
and it is a scale. It is for me too. I love targeting mature deer, and I love targeting mature deer that score well, like big, massive whitetails. That's my thing.
Yeah.
But it's not all about that for me, especially now after shooting this buck. I've got more enjoyment out of this buck than I have the last five that I've shot with the compound.
For sure.
And they've all been bigger.
See, score is cool. Like, it's just a tool of measurement. Like, I want to break this score. And everybody's got that number they want to break. That's a personal thing, I think.
Yep.
Now, I like to shoot deer. I just like to shoot them. Yep. I like to let arrows go. I like to shoot deer. I think that's fun.
That's what's fun about this. It lets right. you kind of lower your standards a little bit. You get more. You don't get more shot opportunities because it's tougher to get them in close. But yeah. you always have that feeling of, man, if a doe comes by right now at 10 yards, I'm smoking her.
Yeah, yeah.
It's middle of the rut, and I'm looking for does. Like, it was a blast. It really was fun.
Everything becomes potential targets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I can
you
see can, that.
When you're trying to learn, you cannot pass up opportunities to shoot at deer. And I killed that doe in the heart of the rut, my first doe in the heart of the rut, and I was never more happy to shoot a doe in my life.
That's dude, I think that's great. Yep. It's got to be like dunking your head in water first thing in the morning and wake your ass up yeah. a little bit, like yep. a little, it's a refresher. But like, I like to shoot deer. I see a buck that's in the 140s. I'm like, oh, I'm making Play-Doh snakes for these 50 yards out sometimes, you know, but it all depends on the year. Like if you know, podcasts are already out at this point, but you know, had a fucked up deal happen that morning, went in for redemption. This buck comes in, that's low mid 40s. And I'm like, Play-Doh snake. And he's at 75. I'm like, man, if he turns this way, I'm going to put an arrow through his lungs.
That's a good deer,
you know? And I'm stoked with that buck. And then, you know, like my second buck, just weird, tight racked, and you get to see that deer in person.
He's gnarly. He's awesome.
Looks like a different deer one way. You turn him, completely different other deer. He goes from being 120 to 150 in a turn of his head.
Yeah, plays games with you.
And that's what I liked about him, because you see him, you're like, he's looking straight at you. You're like, ooh.
What's that?
I like that.
And well, so, that's the different. Whole story of missing him, you know, and then getting that opportunity back to shoot at him again. Right. That you're going to look at that deer for years and remember that hunt. And just,
For sure.
And the fact that, you know, going back to what you're saying, like, that's a buck that you'll look at that deer differently. But you also, in your trophy room of whitetails, you have wide, you have tall, you have short tines and heavy, you have tall, slender tine bucks, you got drop tines, kickers, mass, everything. You got all that. So, but this buck, I think, will have this, like, in your mind, this little golden star around it.
Yeah.
Because
I've got a handful of deer that I just look at different on the wall.
Right.
My first buck is obviously going to be really special for me. Mm-hmm. He's the one that started everything.
Yep.
This deer is going to be really special for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's why I mean, people laugh at these two bucks in the studio. But I have my first buck ever and my first buck with a bow. They don't necessarily laugh at my first buck with a bow, but they laugh at my first buck ever. But that's when I realized, like, I love this shit. I knew
what I wanted to do.
When you look up at that mount,
I love
what
it.
Do you think about?
Dude, I think back to the exact moment that I was 13 or 14 when I shot that thing, like a kid. And I didn't know what that deer did for me in the time, and the time being. But, dude, it unfolded like this strange, like, obsession, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. If I was into this, I'd be into something just as heavy. But I'm glad it's hunting rather than... You know, I was really into BMX, but like hunting kind of stuck me off of BMX to what this is, you know?
My first buck is about the same. When I was 12, youth season with my dad. And like, you know, when you shoot it, like the adrenaline, like everything's just like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. Did you mount your first buck?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. See, I didn't expect my dad to be like, cause I was young. I wasn't going to pay for
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And I couldn't,
you know,
what am I going
to
do?
I didn't expect my dad to be like, we're going to mount it. You know, I expected like, oh, I'll get a skull mount or a skull cap mount. Cause that's what he did with his first deer and stuff. And my dad's like, we'll mount it. No, this is cool. Let's mount it. That's a good first buck.
That's awesome.
So I'm super thankful that we did. Cause it's in the studio now, but the goal is we're going to end up building a new studio. And that guy will be up in the mix with the big boys, man. And it will be.
Love it.
I'll have him in there. I'll have him between two 150s, you know, just looking all.
It makes me emotional thinking about the early hunts, you know, what really started everything. And that it doesn't matter if that deer is a 170 or 100 inches. I mean, it's bringing you back to that place. That's why you got that deer mounted.
For sure, too. And like first buck with a bow, I was 15. This gnarly, I was a BMX kid through and through. Like, the photo is embarrassing. Have you ever seen that photo?
I don't think
so. Let me pull it up.
Mine's pretty embarrassing too.
But I love it though. Like, I need to pull up my hard drive and like really pull out the photos I didn't post. You know, we take a lot of photos of our deer.
Yeah.
And I just have some that are hilarious. And I'm going to end up having to post this now that I'm talking about it like this. But I had long, gnarly BMX, just long, I don't know, long hair, whatever. Where's the albums?
Yeah, my first one with the bow, I actually didn't mount it, but I should have. It was an old bruiser, like an old 12-pointer, like just old as shit. And I'm surprised they even killed him, because, you know, back then you're just moving around, doing whatever.
Yeah.
I had an old Hoyt and just...
what Hoyt did you have?
I'll have to look.
I shot mine with a Hoyt. I had a Hoyt Ultra Sport, I think.
No, that might have been mine.
I was all about High Country back in the day.
Yeah, High Country was the jam, huh?
The High Country Ultra Force. I detasseled all summer to buy that bow.
The backwards hat.
My dad had a...
Hell yeah.
That's an old school Buckmaster's hat.
Nice.
The one where you join, and it was an old school trucker.
My first buck picture was in that hat.
Really?
Yep.
No kidding.
I'll pull it up on Instagram.
See, this is my hair for the record.
Hell yeah.
I was just a shithead. I thought I pulled it up, but first buck with a bow,
dude,
man.
That's a good buck.
That is a good buck.
It was one of those deals. Here we are getting into first buck stories. I shot that buck at probably 12 yards and just thought, I had shot another deer. I'd wounded a buck before and just thought it was down the fucking shitter.
Oh, yeah. You're just like,
fuck. I was like, dude, in reality, knowing now what I'm looking at, perfect quartering away shot, exited out of the shoulder. Like,
yeah.
He ran just in the timber and died. And I remember walking up on that deer and just freaking out, man. Pretty awesome. We're all pulling up first buck fix.
Yeah, I'm trying.
That's your first buck?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bigger than my first buck. Oh, first buck with a bow or first buck ever?
Yeah, first buck with a bow.
Is that your first buck ever?
No.
Oh, that's a nice buck. But yeah, that photo was awesome.
I don't know.
Awesome.
I can't pull it up. If you can pull up Instagram and pull
me
up.
Back when you don't smile.
That might be... Dude, how old were you in here?
I was 15 or 16, I think.
We're about the same age.
Let me see that bad boy.
That is awesome, man. We need to post these pictures.
Look at that hair. That is an old buck.
Yeah, he's a...
Yep.
And he went pretty far, so I was pretty upset. I mean, I thought I smoked him, but...
I love the bow picture. That's awesome.
Yeah, I wish you could see my bow better in the photos. I think if I pulled up the old hard drive, you'd probably be able to... There's probably more, you know? But these logs in the background, this photo, he had jumped into those and was upside down, and we caught the blood. You know how they stop, and there'll be a bunch of blood. That's where they do their stagger step, and then they fall. I was so used to, like, the letdown of losing blood that it was right there. I'm like, where is he? And I looked, and he was right there, and I just remember freaking out. Pretty cool.
I'll have to, if we get the new studio, I'll bring mine in.
Hanging in the studio?
Yeah. It's not mounted.
We should do that. We should have everybody bring their first buck in and just do like a first buck episode.
That'd be
pretty
fun.
Cool. Just tell the story real quick.
Do a video podcast on it.
That'd be cool.
You know? That'd be fun. Well, cool. All right. We're gonna get Shad on. He's going to call in.
He's getting on? Nice.
Yeah. We're going to call him real quick. So we are going to bounce out for 2 seconds. We'll bounce back in. Hey, what's up? I lied. We're going to take Facebook questions instead of getting Shad on. Professional operation we have here. But no, we forgot about the Facebook questions, and I was like, oh shit, we got to cover some of this stuff. So I'm just going to jump through these questions. Some of them are kind of funny. Some are real serious. Chris J asked, can we have Lord Chandler bless bows at the shoot? And I said, that's where I said, yep, we can absolutely do that. You just have to make donations through the Church of Chandler. So
I like the donation part.
The donations is good, right?
Maybe I'll rub my mustache on it too.
Yeah. You do that and he plucks a Doug mustache hair and puts it on your cam.
I'll just start saving them.
You better grow
put
them
in a baggie.
Out.
That's weird. which is great. Jacob Miner says, congratulations. Welcome to Trad Fam. It's nice here. We kind of covered some of this. Dominic Sheets, he wanted to know what made you decide to go after one with a trad bow, and how did he get into it and figure out what bow to get? We kind of covered that a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
Feel free to elaborate if you think.
As far as what bow to get, there's so many good brands out there, and I know nothing about hardly any of them. I narrowed it down to a few, and I knew that Stalker was a nice brand, so I took a chance on it, and I'm not getting rid of it. I love it.
There you go. Well, you can't get rid of it now.
Andy Crone apparently is our homeboy, Doug, because he said, wheels are for cars.
Wheels are for cars.
So, Chris J., another question here. Guessing he started to have some target panic issues. Can we get Austin a back tension? Happens to everyone. That's what made me get over my bout with it. He's a good shot. We all know that. No shame in the trad game, though. It's working for him.
Yeah, I do deal with some target panic issues. I had that bad experience on that bear hunt this year, which wasn't due to target panic issues. That was just more of a poor shot placement on my part, which is just part of the game. But no, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that was some of the reason why I picked up the traditional bow, just to kind of breathe some fresh air and try something different. But I have noticed that now when I pick up the compound and shoot, it has dramatically helped me when it comes to target panic and aiming and focusing and everything for whatever reason. I think maybe just taking a break from shooting it has helped me. So,
yeah.
But as far as the back tension goes, I've shot a hex for years and I punch that thing just as bad as
that's
I do.
That's crazy to me because I shoot the hex too.
I punch through that. It's got like that double click. Mm-hmm. I don't get the double click. I get one click.
Make it long. Make it a long pole.
Yeah, I should.
just
but I've learned how to adapt. Like I'm not a bad shot and I punch.
No, you're not.
I'm just, I've learned
it's in your own head. You know how bad it is in your own head.
Yep.
Cool. Next one. Zach Foster, shout out to Zach. He's a local guy and a big supporter, and it's weird. It's sad to say, but it's weird to have local people back you 100% just because they're weird. I don't know what it is, jealous type thing.
A lot of haters out there.
Hate is going to hate, but Zach does not hate. So thank you, sir, man. You are a true friend, and we definitely appreciate the support. He says, this is not a traditional question, but just a good deer question. How does he capitalize on bucks once the rut is over? Besides the answer, food, food, food. Somewhere outside the box if you don't have huge food sources to hunt.
Well, I hate to tell you, but it's food. Like, Now listen, late season is all about food. That's the only thing that matters. Just because you don't have a large food plot doesn't mean you can't capitalize on deer coming to food. Deer have to feed. Doesn't matter if it's browse, acorns, locust, black locust or honey locust pods coming out of the trees, whatever it is, those deer have to feed and food is everything in late season. So if you're talking about strictly getting on deer in late season, yeah, food is the only thing you need to pay attention to.
Love the answer. Thanks, Zach. We need to get him in here actually for a podcast. That'd be fun. Dana Pace, what's the hardest obstacle you've had to overcome learning to shoot your longbow?
Well, just the fact that you don't have a real guide to aim with like you do. I mean, I've shot a compound for years. You have this, you have the peep sight you look through, you have the pin to line up on. It's just, it's a totally different ball game. And Dana knows this because he's jumped on this, he jumped on the train the same time I did. It's just so difficult. When you're trying to learn the purely instinctive method, it's just so you have to shoot thousands and thousands and thousands of arrows to even get a feel for what that arrow is going to do. And I haven't shot enough to even begin to get a grasp on it, but I have a feeling by next year I'll have a better grasp on it. So, just making that arrow go where you want it to go, I guess, is the biggest obstacle for me.
Scott Clark asked what your arrow weight and setup was. We kind of covered that a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, we covered that.
Yep.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate your support. He's been a supporter for the whole time, really. Yep. Cade Stewart, also a big shout out to you, brother. He's a big supporter. Man, everybody in here is our ride or die, so we definitely appreciate it all. Austin, now what? Is there any other goals you have to harvest a whitetail?
I haven't hit 200 yet.
What about you know, take out score, like choice of weapon, an adalatal, whatever they call it.
Like a velvet. Yeah,
I've never considered that. But
blow dart.
I want to shoot another
air bow.
I want to shoot another good one with the longbow, but I want it to be like a solid 50s, like a true giant whitetail.
Like that's, net 50s?
If it grosses 50s, like a deer that I would shoot with my compound, that's the kind of deer that I want to kill.
That's for fishing.
Gross scores count.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is a good question. Keller George, shout out to you again, brother. Do you have any stands or blinds? The only way to access is through the food source. If so, what is your plan of attack to enter them?
I read this question earlier today. It's funny he put that one in there because this stand that I went to kill this deer out of, I have to walk through my big time plot to get to it.
Oh yeah.
So I have to walk directly through my big time plot to get to Roger's stand. That's why I don't hunt it very often. I don't like blowing deer out of my plot, and I don't hunt Roger's stand in the evening. So I don't do it very often. I don't have to come back through that big time plot in the evenings when there are deer in it.
Right.
Most of the time in the morning, I can skate in there without, bumping a whole lot.
So when you go through the plot, this might be a dumb question. I'm curious. Are you walking the edges where deer typically walk? You walk through the middle?
I just walk right through the middle of it.
It's probably safer, right?
I don't know if it is or it isn't. It's just where the path of least resistance at, so that's the path
I
walk.
So I went and checked some cameras at our lease in our big time plot, and here's my thought in my head. I walk through the center of it because I figured deer are more than likely to browse the edges because they're just fringy type animals.
Yeah, especially when they approach the plot. They're spending more time on the perimeter of it.
Yeah.
They'd be more likely to pick you up there than they would just traipsing through the middle of it.
So maybe bad. Maybe it's bad, but that's my thought going into it. This is a good question. Bailey Clark, if there's one thing you could go back to, let's say your 20-year-old self or even 12 to 15-year-old self, and give yourself one piece of advice on how to get to that next step of bow hunting, what would it be?
When I really woke up to the fact that I could do this and be consistent on killing big deer every year, it was right around 2009 when I just started really paying a lot of I started spending more time in the tree, and I just realized that if I dedicated my fall to deer hunting, I could kill a couple good bucks.
Yeah.
I guess if I could go back and gain 5 or 10 years on that, I'd probably have 5 or 10 more deer on the wall.
Yeah.
If you're persistent,
or double that.
and a lot of people just can't afford to do that. Like, people can't take off work or whatever. And I sympathize with that, but I'm not that way. Like, I have the luxury of being able to hunt a lot. So the only thing that I would go back and change would just be to spend more hours, and get to the point where I was at faster than 2009. I could have been there by 2005.
Yeah, mine would probably be don't be a pussy and go in there.
Get more aggressive.
Yeah. Quit. Well, mine would be, and I kind of like guilt myself. Like, I just know people like make so many excuses not to go. Like, they've already talked themselves out of not going.
When you're young, too.
And then when they ask their buddies, it's windy. Yep, go. It's November. You should be out there.
Big
if you
deer,
can, why
big
not?
Deer die in the wind. Big deer die in the rain.
Yep.
Just go. Get out there.
Don't party so much.
Yeah, hey, still, you can party. You just have to get your ass up in the morning.
Yeah. Well,
had a lot
when
of
you're still up.
A lot of mornings like that. When I was probably not 21.
Whoa.
It's in the past. Didn't bring that up.
Thought we were having a good time here.
Thought we were having a good time.
Chris asked, best post-rut tactics. Asking for a friend may need to be hunting then.
Well, like I said, post-rut, I think of a late season, and I think of food. It's Mark Drury said it best, the deer are slaves to their stomach. When it gets cold enough, they got to go to that food. And there are some factors that play in, like the second rut and even the third rut.
I'm looking at this gif over here.
You do have some young does that will come in to heat and get bred clear up into February, actually. So always keep an eye on that cycle, that 30-day cycle, you know, at the beginning of November, the beginning of December, the beginning of January. You will see flurries of rut-like activity during those times. So keep that in mind when it comes to where the does are bedding and where the bucks are going to be looking for the does. But it just gets easy in the late season. The does got to eat, and the bucks are going to go where the does are at, and the bucks are going to be looking to put on some calories after the rut. So food's everything.
Here's another question from Brennan Jensen, our fifth gay listener. Yes, hello. Hi, longtime listener and big fan. I have a question for Austin. On a scale of 1 to real freaky naughty, how naughty is he?
Real freaking naughty.
Real freaking naughty.
Oh, so stupid. David, we already got that one. Here's a good one. Chris J, when are the Holla Holla shirts coming out? The spring collection?
Oh, spring collection.
And I said, stay tuned, my friend. Stay tuned. Holla Holla Holla.
Maybe maybe a Thanksgiving edition.
Let me holla at you.
Yeah.
Let me holla at you.
Let me holla.
Holla Holla.
That man is a legend. With Zach Jacoby, which, by the way, I call my brother-in-law Jake Jacoby just because I find it funny. Is Austin shooting instinctive or with a point of reference? We kind of talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that. More of a split vision style now, but started instinctive this summer and then kind of morphed into a split vision style of shooting.
For sure.
That's a great picture.
Well, cool. Thanks, everyone, for submitting questions. That was the Facebook side of things. We would jump to Instagram, but we're kind of like timed out here. But let's get Shad on and chat for a bit, and then hope you guys enjoy. Thanks for sticking around. Okay. Shad is here now, finally. I lied to you guys earlier, but he is here. What's up, dude?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I, you know, unwinding after a long day at work, so.
That's right, that's right. Well, hey, first
typical,
of all.
Typical wage brain, you know, working through class. The week kind of deal.
Well, that's what I was getting to. I just want to say thanks for all of the support, man, and tags and stuff like that, and you've been pretty ride or die since we've got to know you, and it's much appreciated.
Yeah, I support the things I care about, man. You guys are doing good work, so.
Thank you.
That's how it goes.
And we talked about you earlier in the episode a little bit, kind of your influence on people in general with, like, your passion for archery, you know, more specifically traditional archery. We talked about at last year's bow shoot how, you know, people are looking at these bows that you brought to the shoot, and they're these beautiful works of art, and people just feel like they can't touch them, and you're the first person to go up and be like, go fling some arrows, just do it. Like, you're not going to hurt them, go shoot them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's how it was brought to me. So I just try to keep doing that same thing.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, I mean, Chandler, I guess you can dive into this, and then Shad, you can kind of continue on it. But like Shad's influence kind of on the working class crew from the traditional side of things, you know?
Yeah. Shad, what's up, my guy? My
guy. How you doing, man? Congratulations. You're having an epic season, and I thoroughly enjoy watching it from the sidelines.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I can't wait for you to get to see the video of it. I think you'll thoroughly enjoy that. But no, I owe it all to you, man. Well, I owe a big part of it to you because you really did. The last couple of years watching you shoot traditional equipment at the shoots just was really inspiring for me just to see your passion. And it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and after watching you do it, it just kind of sparked that again for me. So thank you for that.
Ah, no problem, man. I'm glad it did it, because, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
I can't put it any better than that. It's just a lot of fun.
It's a weird feeling after carrying a heavy compound into the woods for 20 years, and then you walk in with this little
stick and string,
flimsy thing. You're like, I can't believe I'm going to try to kill something with this.
Yeah, you know, a lot of things have died from a stick and string. So
it seems like the compound
hasn't been around a whole long time. It's an effective weapon. Don't get me wrong.
It is. Yep. It's Yeah, I don't remember where I was going with that, but they're a blast to shoot. They're a lot of fun.
Well, Shad, I think, you know, people heard us talking about you being at the shoot and kind of be like, hey, just try it. Open arms, like, go for it. The shoot this year, I'm hoping, is bigger and better and just more involved, and I know you'll be there with all your bows.
I'm bringing them all, but I'll bring a nice brace of them for people. Well, I'm going to bring some lightweight bows this year, too, so that way, like, anybody can
Yeah. Well, I guess I forgot how many bows you have. You can't bring all of them, but like well enough of a selection. But maybe like we set something up at the range where you're sitting there at the table, just like the friendly tattooed traditional guy, you know?
Whatever. I don't know how much I'll sit there. I'll probably just have a sign that says, go shoot my bows and have fun. But
instead of go shoot your bows, go shoot my bows.
Go shoot my bows.
Go shoot Shad's bows.
Throwing bags of big time at people and shooting right there. Yeah.
I don't do stationary well, man. I like to walk around and mingle and stuff. So it's really hard for me to stay stuck behind anything.
Yeah, man, you're a personality for sure. But that's a good thing. I didn't mean to sound that in like any way negative if it did. But
you know, it's just funny.
You're passionate. You're a passionate individual, man. And like it's hard not to pick up a little passion off you when you're vibing with people. I mean, obviously, kind of the impact that you had with Chandler with the traditional game. But I mean, if someone wants to dive in, I guess I don't really know where to go. Like, if someone wants to dive in with traditional archery, like, just pick it up and go, or like what's a couple tips that you have
from my standpoint?
Yeah as I stutter over my Bush Light breath. Jesus Christ.
I mean,
it is what it is.
If you have I don't really have any tips other than just like, if you have the desire to try it, just try it. It's and not worry about if you're coming from the, you know, if you've never shot one, you're coming from a compound world, don't worry about shooting 10 rings. Worry about having fun and enjoying form and shooting close. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you can't hit a target at 40 yards. If you can hit it at 5 yards consistently, you can get to where you can shoot farther. And to just have fun. I mean, I seriously think that bow hunting and archery in general has taken this weird competitive turn, and, It's just so fun if you get away from all of that stuff.
Right.
And that's the best advice I can give anybody. If you just want to try it, man, just try it. There's a lot more traditional bow hunters out there than what people think. And a good chunk of them aren't much different than I am. Like, they want to see people have fun. They're willing to like take their time and help people out. And you know, it's kind of a lost art. And if we don't pass it on and share that love, then it dies.
Yeah.
So
to me, it's the truest form of bow hunting. I mean, if you considered yourself a well-rounded archer and you've never done it, I'd recommend that you give it a try. It's just something really primal and raw about it. It's a blast.
When you take a lot of technology out of things and you break it down to its simplest form, it changes the game.
Yeah.
And to do like what Austin did, which was, you know, Austin's good at killing big deer. He has a room that states that. it's not a mystery to him. But when you go and you take that same knowledge and you, I don't want to say handicap yourself, because I don't believe it's a handicap, but to where you have to take what you know and be better at it.
Yeah, you just have to get a little closer, be a little more consistent, pay attention to form a little bit more in the moment of truth. There's definitely a lot more that goes into harvesting a deer with traditional equipment than with a compound. You think about shot angles, you think about how to set up on the trail different. I mean, it's a science for sure.
And the funny thing about what you just said, that's what I have to think about every time I take a compound out, because it's so foreign to me.
Yeah.
I have to think about all those things. Or shooting traditional is just, I just don't think about the stuff. It's just like, it's natural. It's what I'm supposed to do.
Yep.
So, but that's why I started shooting a compound, because it's not, for me, shooting a compound is not easy, and I don't do well without a challenge. So, I mean, that was one of the whole reasons I started to do it.
I feel like you just like archery in general, though, man, because I've shot with you.
I do.
You go from recurve. The next time I look, I turn around. I just do a quick spin. You got your compound, and then you're back to your recurve, and then you got somebody else shooting the recurve, and then you're back with your compound. So it is
change
cool.
Change it up. Keep it spicy.
Yeah.
Keep it spicy. Why is it spicy?
I do love archery, man. I love all aspects of it, and it's been a pivotal part of my life since I was 5 years old. So it's, I mean, you know, 40 years of this stuff. That's not a fad. That's not a fluke. I mean, it's literally part of my, if I'm not shooting archery, I don't feel like I'm breathing. It's much like if I don't play music, or if I'm not pushing myself physically in some manner, like it's something that I have to do in order to feel alive.
Yeah, not so. Get that.
And here you see the passion that Shad puts out. I mean, it's you can hear it through the podcast. I mean, he's for just sure. A extremely passionate individual, and it rubs off.
Yeah, definitely. What? Let me ask you this question. I know this question doesn't have a legit answer, or maybe it does. Maybe it does. If you had to give up archery or music, what would it be?
Music.
Oh, all right.
Easy enough.
I thought that's the answer.
Because the thing is that music never stops in my head. Like, whenever I have to write a song or whatever, it's just because I'm trying to get something that's out of my, you know, get it out of my head. It's there. Like, I can stop playing instruments, but the music's still there. I cannot stop shooting archery.
God,
I
damn,
can't. Even I broke my wrist when I was 30. Let me think. How old? Shit, no, I wasn't. I was 28 years old. I broke my wrist at the skate park. And I couldn't shoot a bow for almost a year and a half because of that. And that was the longest year and a half that I can remember. And the day that I finally was able to draw a 40-pound recurve back again and shoot, I couldn't even hit the target because my wrist was so weak. But it was just something about it was, you know, it was like my life was back.
Right.
So
that had to have been miserable, man. I don't know what that level of commitment was, like to be, not be able to do your thing, but I broke my collarbone BMX riding, and I couldn't ride. I couldn't, like, you couldn't do shit with the broken collarbone, especially BMX when you're pulling up. And I was, like, devastated for I don't know how long, just miserable.
Like, even if you tried, it'd be like, oh, fuck.
I remember trying to ride when I was, like, not ready to ride and, like, pulling up and feeling, like, that ache and just being so bummed. But I can't imagine now, especially, like, my passion for hunting. Like, imagine if I wasn't tagged out and someone's like, hey, you're not hunting in November. I would be a mental mess.
Yeah, it's hard to look out the window and just think, man, I'm not in a tree right now. What the hell am I doing in this house?
I saw a 2-year-old chase a doe over the road that I live on earlier today, and I felt sad.
It's like against the window. I bring this up a lot. I watched a spike chase a doe this morning on my way to work at, you know, it was like 20 after 5 this morning, and I got ridiculously excited. I mean, I'm not even going hunting. I'm going to work. But to just have that spike run across the road in front of me chasing a doe, like, that's – I live for that stuff, man. I love this time of year. Like, I don't –
this time of year.
I think we I all just do. Love it.
Yep. I think we need to make Shad a spike shirt.
Spike Lives Matter.
Spike Lives Matter.
That's right. I told Joe I was going to start a division of Big Time called Small Time. So
I don't know if it'd do so well.
No, spike it wouldn't, time. But, you know, I've got to – fuck Joe. I got to do it.
Fuck Joe. Hashtag fuck somehow. Like, it's marketed to guys who don't care about inches but just want to shoot deer with a full belly. It's just like literally junk food for deer.
Yeah, that's right. It's just donuts and candy like corn for deer.
Yeah, candy corn in a bag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Candy. Yeah, that's all it is. It's like, I don't know how that's going to work, but it's funny. Well, that's cool, man. Well, I wanted to get you on for this, like, just this little segment of influence for Chandler's success story.
What?
I think you actually texted me about doing this when you shot your doe.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And you hadn't even shot the buck yet.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm so proud of Chandler, not because I didn't think that he didn't have the ability to do this, because I think any of you guys sitting at that table, anybody that's affiliated with WCB, anybody who shoots a bow has the ability to do this, but it's very, very hard to say I'm sticking with it when you have deer that you know you can kill. Like, it's a different mindset. And I love people who are driven and dedicated and have a goal and do not waver from it. So to see Chandler go, this is what the fuck I'm doing this year, or for who knows however many years, but right now this is what I'm doing. I'm having fun with this. This is what I wanted to do. This is what I'm doing. And then see that through, man, that shit is everything to me. Like, I live for things like that.
Yeah.
So when he killed that doe, I was just as proud of him. I probably like I you know, big bucks are really, really cool, but big bucks aren't really my thing. I love to get close to them. I love to figure them out. I love to play that game of chess with them, but it's not my thing. The how and the why is my thing. And, you know, Chandler just embodied the how and the why in a fucking month and a half.
Like, a week, essentially.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, like, since October 1, he's, you know, he did it. And it takes people usually a lot longer to do that. And that shows what kind of woodsman he is, for one. And it's just his drive and dedication. So,
for sure.
Appreciate that, man.
Yeah. I mean every word of it. And honestly, to get within 10 yards of a mature doe with a 62-inch bow,
it's damn near impossible.
And make a shot, it's not easy. I mean, I've been doing it a long time. It's not, you know, when people say, hey, I'm going to go try to shoot a doe with this, no, I always try to correct them. Like, why don't you go try to shoot a year-and-a-half-old buck? Because it's a hell of a lot easier to do that than to get within 10 to 15 yards of a doe.
The frustrating part for me, I could get close enough to the does, but you have to have that right angle. Like, you want, I mean, broadside's acceptable, but quartering away is what you really want. And then to have them be unsuspecting, like to not pick up your scent, to not pick up your trail, to not know you're there, that's...
Yeah, your movement,
you know,
and
because
all that.
The bow is slower. You know, I'm only shooting 43 pounds with a heavy arrow. They have time to react to that shot, and that's what happened on my first couple does, was they had time to react to the shot and I got flesh wounds on them. It's tough to get an old, mature, unsuspecting doe at 10 yards, and man, when it happened, it was a blast.
Yeah, it's a cool thing, man. I've had their chest stump the ground, you know, from a buck chasing them and shoot at them from 10 or 12 yards, and you know, they don't make a lot of noise, but they're so keyed up anyways. They don't know you're there, but they just hear that noise, and their chest will thump the ground just trying to bolt away.
Yep.
And the arrow is a foot over them.
Yep.
And they're not the easiest things, and that's a big accomplishment, man. Like, I don't give a shit what anybody says. You can have 160 inches of horn on that head, but shooting a mature doe at 10 yards with a longbow, my hat's off. every time. I'll salute you to that one every time.
Well, it goes that's back to the old saying: if you can kill mature doe, whitetail doe with a bow, you can kill anything with a bow.
Yeah,
I agree. And if you do it, you know, you get inside that 15-yard range where they just, you know, they can sense when your nut itches. That's
yep.
You know, so we just had our buddy Sean Polk. He's also from Team Working Class.
Yeah, I met him.
Yeah, awesome guy. He yeah, you met him at the shoot. He's hunted a lot of stuff with this old man, like everything pretty much. Like, and he comes back and he's looking at the mounts I have on my wall. Like, he's not even at Chandler's house, and he's like, dude, the room full of whitetails. He goes, I'd trade all my crazy animals to have a room full of whitetails like this.
You're downplaying your room too, though. You've got an impressive wall. Like, you've got a really, you've got a really impressive wall.
I appreciate that. I know, but I try to surround myself around people like you and like Doug and like guys that have, I mean, we all have impressive walls.
Yep.
But, and I know that I'm thankful for what I got, but I surround myself with people who got bigger walls to chase goals. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just people who influence you in different ways, you know, that are also good dudes. It works out. And that's not always like, but if you have small deer, I'm not going to be friends with you. I'm just kidding. But you kind of get what I'm
saying. You wouldn't even talk to me because I pass up more big deer than I ever kill.
But I'm kidding, obviously. But I lost where I was going with that. But yeah, he said, Sean, about I'd rather have a room full of whitetails like this over all like the crazy exotic stuff I have. And I thought that was really interesting. I'm like, why? He goes, whitetails are just the hardest to hunt. And I'm like, really? Like, out of all the shit you've hunted, you think whitetails are the hardest? He's like, yeah.
I didn't hear him say that.
When they stayed here for the week, he's like, they're just dialed. And I don't remember exactly, but basically he's getting us like, they're dialed in on what's going on around
them. They are skittish.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, oh, interesting. I guess I never really.
I've thought of that.
But when we grow up hunting those, like, that's what we hunt, right? We don't look at it in that same manner. We don't have a whole lot of things to compare it to.
Yeah,
now, if you're used to hunting bears or something like that, then you come hunt whitetails and you have like, wow, these things are a different breed. But
yeah,
I can see what he's saying, but you know, we don't see that because
it's hard to wrap our heads around
what the hell we do.
Right, exactly.
So
God, but Yingling is so terrible once it gets a little warm.
Oh, dude.
I'm digging it. I've never drank it before. I'm loving it.
The bottom of the barrel, not good.
It's all right.
How'd that Blanton's treat you, Chandler?
It was the best bourbon I've ever tasted in my life.
Okay. Well, because of the event or because of the bourbon?
I think it was a combination of the two. I had good friends with me, and I was celebrating a goal that I didn't know if I'd ever reach. And, had one of my hunters buy that bottle for me as a gift this year, which was really generous. And
kind of a tip, huh?
Yeah, I just been eyeballing that bottle for the last 2 weeks, thinking, man, I don't want to have to let that sit there for a year. I want a reason to open that thing. I'm glad it happened earlier than later.
Hey, if I call you, we'll have to open it again.
It's half gone, so I got one more buck left in it.
Smokes. Never mind that.
I killed two bucks. Drink some Blanton's.
Bring it. Hey,
drink your quick water.
Bring it on.
Have your quick water, you slum.
Slum American.
Hey, that's fine. I like creek water. But cool, Shad. Thanks for jumping on, man. Like, kind of last second and after work and all that.
No problem, man. I'm honored to be on this. Like, just to tell the man congratulations. Like, for everybody to hear, because I thoroughly mean that. And you know, you guys will get to hear Joe bitch at me soon enough. Whenever I don't shoot the deer that he wants me to shoot. And
didn't you already pass one up?
I've passed a bunch of them up. But no, there's Kurt saw this picture. There's an exceptional buck on one of the properties that I hunt, and Joe is very adamant that that's the deer I chase, and I'm very adamant that I don't want to drag that bastard out of the woods. So
I volunteered my Indiana tag for him. Set that weird laughter. It's like, yeah, fuck you.
No, I wouldn't. I really wouldn't care. I mean, if I had the opportunity, it'd have to be the perfect opportunity for me to draw a string to cheek on that deer, because it's neat, but I would rather just see how close I can get to him and watch him walk away knowing that I won the chess match than I would to kill it. I'm a weird guy with that shit.
That is weird.
It's fun to beat them.
I filmed and taken pictures of more big deer and passed up more big deer to shoot a smaller deer than most bow hunters. And I don't know why. I don't know why I'm wired that way, but that's just how I am. I love to help other people get them. I love putting people on them. And
it's interesting as shit. I don't know if I've ever talked to somebody that has that kind of like look on it.
I don't let big scoring deer get away, but I like a lower scoring deer with my compound. It's gratifying to pass that deer three or four times in a season. Be like, bitch, I didn't beat you once. I beat you three or four times.
Yeah, you're so fucked.
You are so fucked.
You're playing checkers. I'm playing chess.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something gratifying about that. Being able to pass an old mature deer multiple times.
There really is, and I mean there was a deer that for the last few years, and I don't know why I became very obsessed with it, and I spent all of last year trying to get him. And that's just not what – that's not really what I do, but that was my goal for the year. I was like, I'm going to shoot this one, or I'm shooting nothing. And that's kind of how it went last year. And it was a really weird season for me because it's – I passed up things that, you know, when a deer comes in, if I'm going to shoot it, it's never like a predetermined thing. It comes in and there's something about the universe or whatever the hell the moon, the stars are aligned, whatever it is, something says that's the one.
Yep.
And that's when I decided it is. And it's never based on antler size. It's never based on body size. It's just like that moment, that feeling, that's the one.
Leah asked me the same thing. I kept telling her about all these 120 type deer I was passing. She's like, what are you waiting on? When are you going to do this? I said, I'll let you know when he comes in.
Yep.
You just know.
Yeah. It's and you know, I like deer with weird carry. It doesn't even matter how old they are. There was this one, I was texting Joe during this. I was with my wife and we have this weird spike come in. It has probably a 11 inch spike on one side, and on his right side is just like a base with this ball of shit coming out of it. And he's got like a horn coming out the side of his head with it. And my wife talked me out of it. And then so like I text Joe and I was like, I got this, you know, deer right here. And he's just feeding out in front of us at like 15 yards for, I don't know, a good 5 to 7 minutes. And Joe's like, after he knows, you know, what's back, he's like, don't fucking shoot it. And I'm just like, you never let me kill anything, Joe.
You never let me do anything I want, Joe.
No.
You suck.
Fuck Joe.
It's all about Joe.
Joe Umphrey's from Big Time, by the way.
Yeah.
That's who we're referencing. That's how, see, I don't think people believe us when I say we're friends with our partners.
Yeah.
You know?
We drink with them.
Yeah. Like they,
a lot.
We're stopping them from doing dumber stuff than we would do, you know? And that says a lot.
They them boys.
I don't know if you guys could even comprehend the amount of dumb shit that Joe and I have got ourselves into over the years. It's not really ready for prime time. I don't think you want to air that kind of stuff, but it's great around a campfire.
Or reverse this as the dumb shit Joe has got me to do.
I could believe that.
Yeah. You know, and I didn't know it was coming. Came out of left field. But story for more different podcasts, more podcasts.
We
love you, Joe.
I do.
Pretty good dude.
Joe, you're the man.
He is.
Yeah, fuck him.
But fuck you. Well, thank you so much, Shad. You got anything to close out with, brother?
Yeah, man. I just want to say that I appreciate you guys. I appreciate what you're doing. And keep up the good work, Chandler. I think Mr. Dana Pace is he's going to be doing the same thing hopefully very soon.
He's up next.
He sent me a picture one day, man. He had a smaller buck within range. He sent me a picture of the broadhead pointed straight at it, and I was like, "Send it." And he's like, "Not big enough." And I was like, "The old man that's in that bow, he would have sent it without thought."
Yep. He'll kill a good one with it. That'll be a really meaningful deer for him. That's very cool.
Dana's a good dude. He needs to come around more.
Sure. So it's there's a lot of people, man. There's a lot of WCB guys that's hit me up, and they're trying to do it with traditional this year, and I'm fucking stoked for it, man. I'm down for anybody who challenges himself in any manner. So
that's awesome. But
yeah,
man,
I appreciate you guys. Congratulations again, Austin. I'll hopefully see you guys I'll see Kurt really soon, but hopefully I'll see the rest of you guys soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A couple days.
Love you, brother. Thanks for the inspiration.
Doug, you got anything to close out with?
Good luck to everybody still hunting, and you be in the woods right now. So that's what I'll be doing.
Sorry, Shad, did you have anything you wanted to close out with quick? Or are you good?
No, man. I'm good. Thanks for giving me a call.
Yeah, thank you, man. Chandler, you good?
I'm good. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoyed it.
And thank you so much. Good luck out there. The time is now. Don't make excuses. If you're thinking about not going when you can go, go. Your tag needs to be filled. You got this. We believe in you. The luck of the podcast is with you.
Just go.
Don't let Bush Light prevent you from hunting deer. It's not that important. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.